Hello, everyone. Just a quick note. Due to a slight error on my part, the previous episode, number 95, was recorded on the 8th of February, not the 15th as it states on the recording. My apologies.
This is episode 96, recorded actually on February 15th, 2013.
Peckin' pokes at FBI likes to pirate. Arg.
Do you want to stream Peckin' pokes at on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokeset, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokeset. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us from the far right coast is Todd. is Joe Unseen.
That's no moon. It's a meteorite.
And joining us from across the pond is Michael Burgess filling in for Crystal Says So.
I'm ready, Captain.
Oh, good, good. Yes, he likes to call me Captain Picard. So join us tonight, our special, very special guest host on the panel, and join us on the panel is Steve Shives, in over from Maryland.
I was not told I was supposed to have something clever to say.
That's okay. That's
quite
clever.
Put out about that.
On this show, that's clever enough.
Hi, everybody.
Before we get started, a couple things I'd like to cover real quick. You can also find the show, which will be back up online after the show, maybe sometime later tonight or tomorrow. The show is on radio broadcast on Mixlr.com/Packard-Pokes-At. The show, it plays all the shows we've ever done, from the very, very beta podcast to the very final ones that were the most current ones. I should not say final. Final slide, sounds like it's over. The most current show. Also, there's some other things mixed in there as well, so you don't have to even have to download anything to listen to it. You just go to the page and hit the play button.
Also, there's a Mixlr app, too.
Yes, there is an app. There's an app there's one for Android, and there's also one for the iPhone for sure, because I have that one. So
No Android yet?
Okay, well, nope. There we go. So at least we found that out right now. All right, well, before we get started with the rest of the show here, we talked about this on the show last week. I just want to bring everybody up to date on this. We talked briefly about the little girl who was killed by the Saudi cleric. The Saudi royal family over there has intervened to block the release of the celebrity preacher who killed and raped his little 5-year-old daughter. So
that's good.
Yes, and there has been some calls for his death, and that. I think he deserves it because of what he did to this child. But anyway, I did want to get that out there because it was a little bit of an update. And if you didn't hear the story, download the show. It's on iTunes on Packard Pokes at on iTunes. You can find find out about the show there. And it's also at packardpokes@wordpress.com. There's a link to the story there as well. Okay, well, let's get to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
The FBI is going after people for downloading content, you know, like movies, TV shows, whatever. And they put up these warnings when you go to the store on the videos if you rent them. Say, don't download this, don't copy it, whatever reason, you know, or we're going to come and get you. Well, the FBI has been downloading their own porn, or their own, not porn, well, probably porn. I don't know if they've been porn. But they have been downloading their own content from these BitTorrent servers as well. They're breaking their own federal laws. There's a little bit of speculation that they're either doing this as an undercover situation, so they're trying to find out where these things are coming from, or
Homeland Security.
Yeah, they're doing Homeland Security, or somebody else could actually be impersonating the FBI, spoofing the IP addresses. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's like cops talking on their cell phones while they drive. Which is illegal here in New York, but you see them doing it all the time. And people are like, well, they're allowed to talk to their phones. What if they get an emergency call? Yeah, that's what their radios are for. Now, if this is an FBI sting to catch digital pirates, then they would be using an undercover computer like the article mentioned. They've done it in the past. They go on there. They're not going to announce to all the torrent people, oh, by the way, we're the FBI downloading your stuff. So So what I think this is just some knuckleheads over at the FBI don't realize that, you know, they're abusing their work computers and that people are, can see what they're doing.
Yeah. You know? That would be so funny. It's like, oh, dude, you don't, hey, Joe, you know you're not supposed to be downloading from the FBI computers thing? Oh, really? Gee, I didn't know. You only work with the FBI.
Our tax dollars hard at work.
Yes.
They put new meaning behind the FBI warning at the beginning of movies.
Yeah, that's about it, too. Michael, your thoughts?
It's not Federal Bureau of Investigation. It's fake business intentions.
Yeah, that's pretty much it nowadays. They're not even looking out for anything else. They're just looking out for the businesses now. It's not even, what is the harm? I mean, really, what is the harm? If somebody, I can understand some people would lose a little bit of revenue, I understand that, but overall, the amount of money that these places make, a few here and there that people are going to get out and post somewhere or even download for their own personal viewing, it's inconsequential, I at least in my opinion. Do you have anything else you want to add on that, Michael?
Nope, you're cool.
Okay. Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, I guess it has to be discouraging for the companies that are hoping to have these copyright laws enforced.
Mm-hmm.
for the FBI to be downloading it themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, and I guess it just drives home the fact that everybody does it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, everybody does it. If it's available for free on BitTorrent, why would you pay for the download? That being said, I do try to get things legally whenever I can. But I won't say that I've never ever downloaded things illegally. Of course, I have. Everybody has.
I mean, no one's ever done that. No.
Porn is.
And I didn't have my first drink until I was 21.
And it was on your birthday.
Yes, it was on my birthday.
Actually, well, I've had a few drinks well before that, but I was under a parent's supervision, so it doesn't count. Did you have anything else you wanted to add to that, Steve?
I had nothing else to add to
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah, it's so funny with the FBI, this weird shit that they do, and then they claim it is, oh, it's okay for us to do it. Okay, well, let's get into our next topic. We don't usually talk about movies until after they come out, but tonight we're going to change that a little bit because we've got two new movies that are coming out here just a few months from now, and the first movie is going to be Iron Man 3, and the other one is going to be Star Trek Into Darkness. And both of them look very amazing. I got a chance to find a look at the trailers this morning, and the Star Trek one, well, let's talk about the Iron Man 3 movie first. Most sequels are generally, wrong one, there you go. The most sequels, welcome to the show, people. Iron Man 3, for most sequels, Iron Man 3 is, it looks really good. I mean, when it comes to most sequels, they are generally pretty shitty. For example, I'll give you a perfect example, Police Academy. They did sequel after sequel after sequel, and it just got worse.
Yeah, but those were quality films.
Yeah, if you were brain dead. or a horny teenager, whichever came first.
Those movies were pretty awful, actually.
Yeah, they were. The first one was good. After that, yeah, they all kind of went crash. But yeah, I liked both Iron Man movies, and there were parts of it that weren't the best. But overall, I thought the video was really good, and the movies were actually intriguing enough to keep watching. So, and Iron Man 3, just from the trailers alone, it just looked really good. Now, there was one interesting thing between the two movies. Both of them have something crashing into the ocean or water or whatever. And I was like, is this a new theme going on between the two? Or that everything's going water-based now? Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I believe it was Roger Ebert that once said, superhero is made by the supervillain. So supervillains are an essential part to the quality of a superhero story. And in Iron Man 3, it looks like Ben Kingsley will play the Mandarin. which I'm told by my friend Delia, who is a bit of a comic book nerd, actually contacted her tonight about this. The Mandarin is a classic Iron Man nemesis and has a history of giving Iron Man a run for his buck.
Oh, good.
And so it's going to be exciting to see Ben Kingsley portray him. There's some speculation as to how into the power rings they're going to go with this. But I was also reading that there's going to be another villain in the movie played by Guy Pearce. He's going to be playing Dr. Aldrich Killian.
Oh, that's cool.
Who's some kind of mad scientist. And he's going to invent some kind of nanites or something. And that's going to be,
A real you got more thing. About it than I did anyway.
I actually went and read a little bit about it. And I contacted my friend. She's real excited about this movie.
Ah.
What better villain for a superhero scientist than an evil scientist?
Absolutely. You can't have every good movie has an evil scientist.
I know, because we all know science is the work of the devil.
Yeah.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. Full of grace. Doodah, doodah. Michael, your thoughts? Did you get a chance to watch any previews or check it out?
Nope. Because we haven't got nothing over here yet.
Oh.
Did you see Iron Man 1 and 2?
Yeah, I saw Iron Man 1 and 2, and to be honest, I wasn't that impressed.
Hmm.
I'm a bit of a comic book fan myself, but I've never, even with the comic books, ever been impressed with Iron Man at all.
Oh, so you're just biased against Iron Man.
He's an Iron Man hater!
No, I don't know. It's just Iron Man to me doesn't seem like a superhero. He just seems like a man in a suit that can do extraordinary things because of technology.
Oh, that'd be Batman, too, then.
Yeah, he's a lot in common with Batman.
Yeah.
I don't like Batman either.
Yeah, well, the only difference between them is Batman can fly with, or he can fly without, Batman can't fly without a suit.
Batman needs a funny shaped airplane.
Yes. I could just imagine could you imagine if Tony Stark had an airplane instead of just flying around in a suit, it'd be just a big helmet head flying through the sky.
The Iron Man action figures actually come with vehicles for Iron Man to ride in, and I'm just like, what's the point of this? Doesn't every kid look at this and go, that's stupid?
Exactly. Yeah, he's got a suit. It should come with us a Ferrari, He's a billionaire after all.
What does Iron Man need with a motorcycle?
Right, exactly. Steve, your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad that we mentioned Ben Kingsley and Guy Pearce, because those are two of my very favorite actors in anything that they do, and it's always good to see them in things. And when I heard that Ben Kingsley was going to be the villain in this, I instantly wanted to see it, even if I hadn't really been interested in it before. I was just like, oh, no shit, Ben Kingsley.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to see it because I liked the first Iron Man, and then The Dark Knight came out the same year, and I completely forgot about Iron Man. But but I really...
Iron who?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, well, at least they got it out early before everybody forgot about it.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. And then the second one was just sort of okay. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I could take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But the third one is interesting because they built to such a crescendo with the Avengers movie. It seems like that's what they were building towards. And now that that's over, they're kind of starting again. And it's almost like they're not just making another Iron Man movie. They're making a whole sequel to that.
Yes.
Build up to the Avengers. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes, too.
Yeah, it'd be nice where they tie this all in, because I got to see the Captain America movie and then the Avengers movie and all that and Thor. And they seem to be all coalescing to one video.
Well, they have. They did in the Avengers.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I mean, that's what I'm saying is that, I mean, they're all building all these other movies into the Avengers. I mean, bringing all the characters out.
And Steve is right. They're doing it again now because Iron Man 3 is coming out this year, so is Thor 2, Captain America 2.
Oh, really?
I think they're going to add some new heroes to the next Avengers movie.
Oh, good. That's what we need. We need more heroes.
Yeah, there weren't nearly enough characters in the Avengers.
Right.
Whose
turn is it to speak now? Am I supposed to hit him, or are you supposed to hit him? What am I supposed to do here?
They're going to do one of those tracking shots where it follows every hero doing something, and in the second one, it's going to take like 20 minutes just to catch everybody.
Wait till one of them has to stop at the bathroom first, and then they'll capture that on there too.
Iron Man's suit filters the urine. He doesn't even need a bathroom.
Yes, well, yeah, Iron Man does it, but I mean everybody else,
Well, Captain America's God. Are you saying gods need the bathroom?
I don't know. What does God need of the spaceship? doesn't need a bathroom. He doesn't need a spaceship. Well, speaking of spaceships, let's talk about Star Trek II, the Into Darkness. I got to watch the preview on that, and that one is also they got Kirk jumping off the huge ass building, and he's being tormented by some maniac, and saying, "Hey, you know, you gotta be careful. You're gonna die or some bullshit, whatever." And it just looks very interesting. I mean, I liked the first one. I mean, how everybody was pitted against him, and how he was kind of like trying to figure out his own role because of the whole timeline rewrite or whatever. But I think the second one is going to make the first one look like it was. There wasn't enough lens flares in it, I should say. So there's going to be a lot of graphics and high tech stuff in there. I mean, the story is just going to, I think it's going to be swallowed up by it overall. I mean, I think it'll be a good story, but I think the all the technology and the graphics and everything are just going to swallow the whole story up. Your thoughts, Joe?
Yeah, I love the Star Trek reboot. I thought it was great, even though it was the second time in a Star Trek movie that a group of Romulans had a ship that could blow up planets.
Yeah.
I did a facepalm when I heard that. I was like, oh, come on. Yeah. But from the looks of the trailers, the new one looks really exciting. The rumor mills have Benedict Cumberbatch will play Khan, but that's still unconfirmed, and I don't think we're going to find that out until the movie comes out.
Yeah, that would be interesting if they bring back the character Khan.
They've been feeding a fake name. I think it was like John something or other. Like, oh no, Cumberbatch's playing this John guy, and it's like, what? Who? But yeah, I think they might still surprise us. In the trailer, it looks like they crash poor old Enterprise into some water.
Yes, I saw that right towards the end.
I'm really hoping they don't wreck the ship, because wrecking the ship and blowing up planets are two dramatic elements that sci-fi movies have just beat to death.
Yes.
It's been done in too many movies. And in Star Trek especially, like, all right, we're going to blow up the ship. And I'm just like, again?
Well, I don't think they have to worry about the Enterprise getting wet, because it drips dries, you know. It's right. Otherwise, it's going to shrink, because I think someone forgot to hang the do not wash, dry clean only tag on the bridge.
Take to warp, tumble dry.
Yes. Michael, your thoughts?
Yeah, again, we've had nothing over here because you seem to always get it before us. But the only thing I do have to say is I'm glad there's another one, because then I can start speaking Klingon to my friends again, and they can no one can understand me. I win. But no. I generally do like the idea of this. From what I have seen, because this time round I managed to be able to find stuff online.
Okay.
From what I have seen, I hope that they do this, but to me it seems like what they've done is they've kind of gone back to the normal reality, if that makes sense. Not reality, universe.
Okay.
Because it seems with the first one, they made the universe different by making the man kill his father. In this one, to me, it seems like they've gone back to Universe One, where the father's still alive.
I don't know. I didn't get delved that deep into it. I will have to find out what's going on there. Are you talking about Kirk or?
Yeah.
Are you talking about Christopher Pike?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, Pike's not his father. He's just the previous commander.
Oh, okay.
Okay, like who, father? Who are you talking about? You had me confused.
That died in the beginning of the first movie.
Yes. I was like, you had me confused there, Michael.
Yeah, ignore me then, guys.
It's okay. Steve.
I'm that big of a Trek fan, and I can't even get it right.
Wait. Did you say you're not
Where's
big
the
of
gun?
A Trek fan?
Where's
you
the
speak
gun?
Klingon, Boom. Dude.
He speaks Klingon, but he's not a Trek fan. Don't worry about that. There you go. Steve, your thoughts?
This one I am really looking forward to. I am a Star Trek fan, and I, like you guys, I really, really, really enjoyed the last one. I thought it was a great restart. It was like a fresh coat of paint, you know, where you still had all the familiar characters, but it was sort of rolled back, and you had new faces playing them, and it was a really exciting story, and it felt different, and it did things that Star Trek movies didn't really do before that, which got a lot of complaints from some of the hardcore Trekkies, but
yeah.
But that was the point, you know, to make it different and to update it and to make it feel like it was new.
Yeah.
And it was really exciting. And I'm Benedict Cumberbatch is the villain. Whoever he is a great, is a great draw for me. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It looks really, really cool.
You know, the fact that J.J. Abrams is doing this and he's doing the Star Wars movies. You know, I got this on Twitter. I was getting out there. And I was saying, is he going to find a way to bring Spock into Star Wars? Bring the red goo with him. So he's that's the only reason. So he can bring back Darth Vader. So he can reset the whole timeline
with some lens flare,
and with a whole bunch of lens flares as well. Yeah. So,
well, lightsabers don't lend themselves to lens flares. You would think.
There you go.
You know.
You know, it's really actually interesting how they actually do all that stuff, too. They actually use a rod that's actually electrified so they get the roink sound when they actually hit. I saw some background done on this many years ago, so that was really cool, though. But yeah, that's a whole other movie. But anyway. Well,
yeah, and you know, speaking of the lens flares, a lot of people think those lens flares are digitally added, and most of those are actually like an assistant director shining a flashlight into the lens. Most of those lens flares are practical effects. Yeah,
really? Now that's interesting. I didn't even know that. I didn't know that's how they did that. I thought it was all digitally done, because I know I can do that with my computer here with like a little lens flare type thing if I wanted to. But I didn't know that's just take a flashlight. That's low tech. That's great. Low tech to the rescue.
As soon as they put Lens Flare in Windows Movie Maker, it became overused on YouTube, and everybody began to hate it.
Yeah. Well, it's Windows Movie Maker. What can you say?
It's the only special effect in there.
The only special effect that's worth using. That's why they overused it. But all right, well, let's get into our next topic. Over in Russia, they had a little bit of excitement, and no, it wasn't the freed vodka for everybody night over in Russia. It was it was actually a meteorite hit over in central Russia, which hasn't happened over there since the Tunguska blast in 1908. It shattered windows, and there was one Democratic person over there. I guess he's the equivalency of the Republicans over here. He was claiming that it wasn't a meteorite that fell over there. It was us, the United States. They were attacked. We were attacking. We were doing a test attack, which is the fucking stupidest thing I ever heard, because if we're going to attack somebody, we don't do like throw a stone over there and go, oh, did you see the stone? No. We're gonna throw a fucking missile over there. We're not just going to throw one. We're going to throw a whole fucking payload at you, buddy boy. But we're not attacking you. It's a fucking meteorite. These things, you know, they're out in space. They float around, and they're attracted to heavy bodies. So it's just really strange that these people over there, some of these people are thinking that. But there's footage of this meteorite coming down. There's like 16 minutes of videos collaborated all together from different angles for the meteor flying through the air and burning up. And it actually left a trail, like a chemtrail, in the sky because it was burning so hot. The Russian government over there is claiming that they shot it down. Really? A meteor's coming out of nowhere, and you have time to launch a missile to shoot down a meteor? I don't think so, buddy boy. All the video disproves it, because there would be more than one trail going up to this meteor coming out of the sky. And to hit a meteor with a missile? Come on now. Please, let's keep it in reality. Come on now. Joe, your thoughts.
Clearly, this is evidence that God hates Russia.
Those atheist bastards!
Yeah, this has been a real exciting story for me ever since it broke late last night. It first broke on RT.com, which is Russia Today. It's kind of like their state-owned modern-day Pravda.
Yeah.
And Russia Today has been criticized in the past for reporting what seems to be propaganda, and so I was so desperate. Like, I was like, oh, please let this story be true, because it's so cool. I was waiting for another news agency to confirm it, and then I started finding like Russians tweeting pictures of the damage, and I found one guy put up a blog of all these videos and the pictures of that were found on Twitter, and I was like, all right, most likely this happened. And then the BBC confirmed it. They're like, yes, this actually happened. I was like, all right, cool. And I started tweeting the hell about it. And it's real exciting. I mean, scientists have been saying for years that this is possible. Like, you know, we have the Tunguska blast, and, you know, it's thought that that was probably a meteorite.
Yeah. Either like a comet or a meteorite. We're not exactly sure. No one's been able to get to the
site
yet.
There's always questions about it. Yes. And they've always said, like, you know, what if one of these came down near a city? It could damage the city. And now it's actually happened.
Right.
Like,
and
thankfully, nobody died. You know, some people got hurt. But, like, it's still kind of exciting. I mean, a rock from space damaged buildings on the Earth.
Yes. Well, this actually happens a lot more times than you think. We've had that actually happen over here. There was a meteor came down and it hit somebody's car, destroyed the whole trunk.
Meteorite. That's near where I live. I actually saw that meteorite in the Smithsonian. Mm-hmm. They have it on display.
Yeah, and there was one just a couple years ago. It hit down just in the southern half of Wisconsin, actually, and it lit up the whole sky. So. These things happen every day. I mean, there's been many times when meteors have been falling over an area where there's supposedly where missiles could be falling. And when we first got our radars and everything like that, we were watching the skies back in the early 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, and everybody was on high alert that when these rocks would fall out of the sky, they would look like incoming missiles. And we've gone to war almost over because of a mistake of these things falling out of the sky.
Scramble the bombers.
Yeah, scramble the bombers, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I heard the Westboro Baptist Church is saying this is a warning from God.
Only if it lands on their heads.
I was talking to a couple guys on Twitter today, and we're like, well, you know, God's fallen off the wagon. He's been hitting the sauce lately. He was aiming for the Westboro Baptist Church, but son of a bitch, he hit Russia again.
You got to get God away from the wine, you know.
Michael, especially when he's playing with the meteorites.
Yes, especially then, yes.
Oh, hey, there's people down here. Oh.
Michael, your thoughts?
I think this is fascinating, actually, because I love my astrology, and I thought this was fascinating. One thing that they had said on the BBC News and Sky News over here is that every 5 years we have an asteroid or a meteorite hit the Earth, but it usually hits areas that have no land at all. Usually hits the city, hits the water, and is never big enough to actually make a tsunami or an earthquake that could destroy the planet.
Yeah, well, that would have to be really huge ass a meteor to do that. But we've had one that went by today. Actually, it came with like 27,000 miles from the Earth, as I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So there is one that will be coming next month. I think it's on the 17th, where you should be able to see it. According to astrologers, it will, as it comes to our atmosphere. It will come close to our atmosphere, but not enough to actually be pulled in.
Oh, good.
What it will do, because it will go through a solar flare of the sun first before reaching us. By the time it reaches us, you will be able to see this asteroid during the day and night for a week.
Oh, we talked about that during the apocalypse show, as I recall.
Yes.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I can't wait to see that one, actually, because I want to see it flying through the sky.
It's the 7th, from what I remember. And they're saying Yes.
Okay.
And if you want to see it, the best time to see it would be, they said, 9 o'clock here, and you're 6 hours behind me. So it would be, if it's 9 o'clock here, then that will be 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4. So about 3 your time.
Yeah, about 3. Yeah, about 3, 4 o'clock. If it'll fly by, I'll still be asleep on the couch.
But yeah, they say that's the best time to see it.
No, it'll be right in the sunlight, or I can't see it. So
Yeah.
Steve, your thoughts?
Well, Packard, you're right. It wasn't a Russian missile that shot this thing down, but most people don't know it. It was actually Vladimir Putin who hurled a rock at it with his own hand and knocked it off course. It was headed toward a major populated area, and he actually was able to knock it off course and send it into the Ural Mountains, where it crashed, and there was relatively little damage. So the Russian people owe their president.
Yes.
A great deal today.
Yes. And you know, there's a statement on there that saying he was actually thanking God that it didn't hit the area over there. I'm like, I had such a facepalm when I was reading that. Like, you're thanking God for rocks not falling out of the sky. Why not just thank God for, say, hey, God, why not just not make the rocks fall from the sky? instead of thanking for not hitting a populated area or killing anybody.
Even God knows not to fuck with Putin. He wants to let him know that he's still up there, but he's not going to push it too far.
Him and Dick Cheney, you know, they're big buddies, you know.
Hey, God, stop playing Conkers with the Earth.
Yeah. I think he's trying to, I think he's shooting us with his BB, his pea marbles, you know.
Put the BB gun away.
Yeah, put the BB gun away, you know. The humans are playing now. Go away. Did you have anything else you want to add on that, Steve?
No, I'm good.
Okay, very good. All right, let's get into our next topic. I was actually not going to do this story, but a story tonight with the religion, but being that Steve is on the show, but this was kind of big news, and since it hasn't happened in 600 years.
It's a
historic event, and we should actually speak about it. He's decided to retire. First time in 595, 96 years, something like that. 98 years. And the thing is, they actually have something already set up in place just in case this happens. And I was talking to Joe about this earlier, just the other day, as a matter of fact. And if you haven't had something happen in over 100 years or 200 years or whatever, most likely people are going to go, you know, I don't think we need this policy around because it hasn't happened in so fucking long. But they've actually had something in place for 600 fucking years in case a pope decides to, quit. Which usually they all stay till they fucking kick over. I found this out this morning that when the Pope dies, because he's supposed to be infallible, that they take his ring and they break it apart and then they make a new ring out of it for the next Pope. Which is, I thought, well, what the fuck is all this about? But they think it's his ring of power, I guess. You know, it's the whole Castle Grayskull ring of power or whatever. The weird traditions that these people have, it's just fucking bizarre. But the fact is that this Pope is quitting now because of health reasons? Come on now. Really? Every other Pope that was in there beforehand had some kind of health issue, and they stayed on until it kicked off. Once he leaves, he is going to be cloistered or taken away, and I just hope they give him the Playboy channel, so maybe he'll actually get a sex education. That's what he's a man. He deserves it, you know.
So that's what that's for.
That's what that channel's for. They set the Playboy channel just for the Pope. Give him the Playboy channel. He's going to be cloistered. He needs something to do. He needs to rub a few out. Anyway. Hell, what else are you going to do with this time? Pray? Fucked. You can only do that for so long before you get fucking bored and fall asleep.
Now, if he's not the Pope anymore, is the semen still holy?
There's this great picture I saw on Facebook. He says, I'm going to quit. Maybe just two more boys, and then I'll quit. You know, he's just... just two more. Come here, boys. Anyway, Joe, your thoughts.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting what you said about the ring. I had never heard about that. Does that mean the Pope is being kicked out of the Green Lantern Corps?
No, he said he kicked out of the Yellow Lantern Corps. Because it's made of gold, you know.
Yeah. They're saying that he's leaving for health reasons. I don't buy that. Yeah. I think that's just a made-up excuse.
Yeah.
This Pope's reign has been riddled with scandals. The Vatican banking / money laundering scandal, Butlergate, which I'm following, and, of course, the ongoing sex abuse scandal.
Yes.
So this guy is just bouncing like Nixon.
Yeah.
When he gets on the helicopter, he should throw up two peace signs, wave off, and just fly away.
Yeah.
What I think is funny, though, is you sent us a link to it was the story of all the other popes that resigned.
Yes.
And Pope Benedict IX sold his papacy to his godfather.
Yes, I saw that.
There's a precedent for popes selling the papacy.
Yeah, so I wonder how much he got for it. Yeah, I was going to say.
How much does that go for these days? He could put it on eBay.
I'm selling the papacy. It's on eBay.
Lots of benefits. You get to live in a castle, wear funny hats.
Wear a dress, red shoes. Everybody calls you Dorothy. The only downfall, the downfall of it, everybody calls you Dorothy, you know. And you get to ride around the Popemobile. You know, I think if what they should do with the Popemobile is let them go run around in it for one last time and put numbers in it floating around so he can, like, call a lock, do a bingo thing right from there. You know?
The Pope's bingo.
Bingo with the Pope. Live edition.
B9.
And 56.
Bingo.
Michael, your thoughts?
Who let Sauron out of the bag?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to rule them all, yes.
No. I had something, and my mind's gone blank now.
Oh, well, that's good.
You guys said something, and I had a really good thing to say, and now I've gone blank, so...
That's all right. That's the common... That's the Packard Pokeset effect. Everything we talk about just makes you forget what the fuck you're talking about.
You thought about what I was talking, but forgot about it when Packard was talking.
Right. I think we're all good for that, because I do that constantly on this show.
Oh, yeah, don't forget, we've got a petition going around on Twitter at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
To try and make Wizard of Todd Pope.
Yes. Michael started that. Michael started this petition to get Wizard of Todd to be the next Pope. He has a good chance.
Todd told us that he is actually legally eligible to become the Pope because he was baptized Catholic as a kid.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right, he was.
So if we get enough signatures, Wizard of Todd can become Pope.
Right, and then he'll shut that sumbitch down.
Oh, hell no, he's going to invite us all over to swim in the pool.
Then we'll shut it down. Oh, it's just, there's so much wrong with that.
I'm gonna put it in the chat. I'm going to put it in the chat now.
So. Okay, go ahead. You do that. Steve, your thoughts?
Well, I had two thoughts. The first is, he's apparently going to retire to a monastery to pray. And I couldn't help but wonder if the monastery he retires to will be one of the monasteries that he shuffled pedophiles off to over the years.
I hope.
Yeah, me too. I really hope to. Yeah. And I hope someone finds out about it and we all get to read about it in the fucking New York Times.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
But and then the other thing was I went back and just sort of scanned some web pages about papal history, and you really realize how boring the papacy has been these last few hundred years. If you get back into the Middle Ages, I mean, that was some randy shit that they were doing back. I mean, the reading the history of the Pope in the from 500 or 600 years ago, it's like a soap opera, only trashier and with more illegitimate children. They really had it good back then as far as papal gossip. Now it's like, oh, he's going to resign, and that's such a huge deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, there was one. It was Marcellinus, whatever, how you're born and pronounce it. The early church pope abdicated or was deposed in 304 after complying with the Roman emperor order to offer a sacrifice to the pagan gods. So apparently, you know, that was taboo. So he's like, oh, I'll do it. Really? There's no consistency with these people. I mean, they'll do it if they. I don't know. Maybe the guy got a threat. You know, you come up, do it, or we'll take away your bath privileges or some shit. I don't know. Whatever they did, but to you know, if these people were as Christian as they said they were, they wouldn't have done that. They would have said, "Fuck you," and we won't do it. But no, they do anything, you know, over there. Do you have any last thoughts on this, Steve?
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right. Very good. All right. Let's get into our next topic. And our funny tweet tonight comes from Cat Food Breath. I don't really have time to argue with you over that buttered toast today, so just hand it over.
Steve, does your cat like buttered toast?
She likes whatever you put in front of her, to be honest. She really likes olive juice, which is like, wow. That's like crack to her. She loves olive juice.
Really?
It's like crack to her.
She's like a crackhead for olive juice.
You're trying to pull out an olive for your salad, and she's just like circling around you.
Exactly. She just gets really nice all of a sudden. It's weird. It's like, yeah. Oh. The fuck do you want?
Yeah, it's just like I'm kind of imagining you're circling, you know, like you like a shark would circle somebody in the water. Do 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 do. That's all you're waiting for is the sound, the shark sound. All right, well, let's get into our shout out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out tonight is from Michael. Michael, who's the shout out for?
Frono's Photos.
Frono's Photos. That's FRONOWSPHOTOS. Can you tell us a little about Frono's Photos?
Now, usually we give out people that have not so many followers, but I follow mainly people that have got loads of followers. Mm-hmm. Don't ask me why. It's just how it works for me, because I follow the people off of Twitter, YouTube. No, I follow people off of Flickr, YouTube, and all that sort of stuff. So right. Usually I follow, so you get the concept. But anyway, Frono's Photos is a person that tweets photography. He has a YouTube channel, and he has a community on his website.
Mm-hmm.
Now, basically, he's a person that likes to show people how to take photos. So he's not one of these photographers that just takes it and goes, oh, yeah. Yeah, you can buy that. Yeah, you can use my photo. Yep, yep. He actually goes around and goes, right, I have taken this set of photos. Now, how I did this was like this.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's a new piece of equipment, and he goes, yeah, you should get this for this type of photography, for this type of news and all that sort of stuff. And he's usually, if you go onto his website, he's usually pretty good at giving you free photography stuff. He's got a free photography guide. He sells t-shirts and stuff, and he gives you a photo of the day. He got 5 mini portraits he's taken. You've got quick tips. So he's just a great person to follow if you want to learn photography.
Okay.
Not just that either. He's funny.
Okay.
He is funny as hell.
Okay, good, good. Well, if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Give Froco News.
Frono's Photos.
Yeah, give him a follow and tell him you heard him on the show. That's FRONOWSPHOTOS. Wow, that's a fucking mouthful. Let's just try to spell it. We actually almost forgot to do this. We actually have a discussion tonight for our religious topic. Almost completely forgot because we got kind of distracted there. So we're going to do that tonight. Our topic tonight is creation myths. When it comes to weird stories of creation myths, there's all kinds of them out there. So there's a saying, I think it's Richard Dawkins, that says that they all can't be right, but they can all be wrong. So we're going to put the 7 minutes up on the clock, and we're going to have a little roundtable discussion over the different creation myths that are out there. Everybody's had a chance to look at some different ones. I looked at the ones from Egypt, and Joe was looking at. Which one are you looking at, Joe?
I just looked at generally.
Just like, general one?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I kind of did a contrast between the Egyptian and the Hebrew one, you know, the one that everybody knows is the Christian religion anyway. And Michael's going to give us a little Klingon.
Yeah, baby. I'm going to go nerdy on your ass.
There you go. So anyway, let's get the clock started, and I'll tell you what, Steve. Since you've been going last, we'll get your what do you think about these creation myths?
Well, my favorite creation myth is actually the Native Hawaiian one. It's not one that gets a lot of attention, but it's such a warped and yet really cool story. What's cool about it, and what's cool about looking at creation myths as myths instead of pretending that they're true,
mm-hmm.
is that you can take all kinds of insights from them. Like the Hawaiian creation myth has the taro plant was actually created by the gods as a brother to mankind, and died and was buried in the ground, and then from its buried corpse the first taro plant grew. And it tells you know how important that crop is to the Native Hawaiians, it tells you something about their culture, and you're sort of liberated to learn those things when you don't have to convince yourself that it's all true. All
right.
And you know, when you talk about the Book of Genesis and the Christian and the Jewish creation myth that we're supposed to think is literally true here in Western culture,
all right,
you lose all those insights. You lose what that could tell you about the people that invented it.
Yeah.
And that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
You know, that we're sort of, we have to look at it as just a completely flat, literal thing. And we're not allowed to derive any cultural insights from it. Because that, when you look at it that way, that Hawaiian creation myth is just beautiful.
Really? I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. I never even considered the Hawaiian one. I mean, there's so many out there now. I mean,
there are thousands of them.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They're all different. I mean, they borrow the stories from each other. So they rip off a little bit. So I like this part. Let's leave that one in. Let's take this part out. And there's a whole litany of things in there that are all over the place. Joe, did you have anything you wanted to add on this?
I think that's really cool. I never heard the Hawaiian creation myth before. I did a little bit of reading on creation myths in general. Creation myths are one of the most common forms of myth. They often tell the fictional story of a god, person, or animal creating the universe, the world, and life. And many creation myths, I noticed, seem to describe order being created from chaos. Mm-hmm. That seems to be kind of like, you know, largely Eastern thing, but it is a theme that continues through them all. Humans are often made from dust, dirt, or clay,
mm-hmm.
probably because mud and clay can be molded easily, and or because it's the color of our skin.
Right.
You know, these stories.
I was going to say, you're saying they're out of mud or clay or whatever. The Egyptian one, the humans came out of tears. So that's a little, variation there. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
These stories are often considered sacred and part of religion. And the stories are fun to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see the similarities and differences in them.
Mm-hmm.
The creation myth most people are familiar with, of course, is the Hebrew story of the Garden of Eden, which was probably penned during the Hebrew exile in Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
And these stories are just stories. They're based on a primitive understanding and a limited view of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And while many religions offer up creation stories, so does science.
Yes.
And the science creation story is one that's based on evidence.
Yes.
So
evidence, fuck. Evidence is just, wow, it takes all the fun out of it.
Well, evidence is something that the faithful often struggle with. So
Yes. That's very true. That is very, very true. Michael, did you have anything else you wanted to add into this?
Well, according to the Klingon...
nice.
I'm going to get my batleth out. You better tell it quick here, man.
Well, basically, according to the Klingon one, we're all made for war, and we're basically here to destroy each other. So get ready, guys, because the batleth is coming to chop your head off. And I've just got, and that's all you can really say about that one, because that's basically what it is. And the last thing I'm going to say to you guys is, I'm going to chop your head off, so be worried.
Oh, I was going to say, you sound like you're hungry.
I'm so impressed that you know Klingon. That's great.
Yeah, I tried learning that myself. It's like they're just. I actually have the Star Trek to Klingon translation book from the movie, actually. So somewhere floating around my house.
They make apps for it, but the apps are often like you have to pay for the good ones, and the free ones only tell you a few expressions.
Yeah. So.
Put it this way. I'm going to say all your names very quickly.
Which means what?
Which means Packard, Joan Seen, and Steven.
Oh, well, great.
That's great. That's awesome. Thank you.
My name in Klingon. I love it. Did anybody else have anything else they want to add in here? Well, you know, I could add in the stuff there. I was talking about the Egyptian one. They like I said, they borrow a lot of these stories from each other. The story of the how everything came out from the Egyptian one was they have – out of chaos, you mentioned, Joe, and they separated the earth from the sea and the sky and everything, but they're not allowed to. They were like lovers at one time, but they're not allowed to touch anymore. That's where we got their atmosphere. And it just so much strange stuff that comes out of these stories. But the creation story from the Bible and Egyptian, there are a lot of similarities between the two. Like on day one, the creation of light. The beginning of the was the water, the chaos, the bubbling, the churning, the water. Egyptians called Nu or Nun, And it says everything came out of the came began and the sun god Ra emerged out of the primeval chaos, just like you said there. Basically, it's out of chaos. Anything else? Anyone else have to add on this?
I'm not surprised that the Egyptian and Hebrew stories are similar or have similarities because those cultures like did kind of buffer each other. They knew of each other. So
yes, yeah. The fact is that these are also desert religions, also. So that's as a big part of it, right there. Michael, do you have anything else you want to add in the last minute before the last 20 seconds? Like call us an asshole and Klingon or something?
The last 20 minutes, last 20 seconds will go very fast. I don't think I'm going to fit it in. Nope, I missed out.
Great. And that's our buzzer. That was great, Michael. Thank you very much.
Bravo, Michael.
Bravo, bravo.
And if you want to hear more of that, head over to my YouTube channel, which I'll give you later.
All right. That sounds good. All right. Let's get into our last topic for this evening. Where in
the world is the Wizard of Todd? You have to
see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Todd. We've been trying to get a hold of Todd. Last week, if you were here for the show, he was apparently kidnapped while he was over in Rome. And I was checking my voicemail and to maybe hopefully he called in, and he sent me this message here, and I have to play this for you, so stand by on this.
I have been instructed to read the following statement. Packard, you better listen. My life might depend on this. We are Opus Dei. We have captured your so-called roving reporter. More like a roving pile of steaming dung. We are disturbed that people who act like him have contributed to Pope Benedict XVI resigning. Since he enjoys having fun at the expense of the Pope, we will have the Pope have fun at his expense. If we don't receive a donation to the Order of Wild Young Bohemians, to the order of 1 million euros, we will have 100,000 angry, infected, mutant goats sodomize your reporter for the entertainment of His Holiness. When he has recovered his strength, we will have a walrus gouge on his eye and proceed to skull-fuck him. Then, after he has recovered his strength, we will repeat the process until either the ransom is paid or the new pontiff is chosen. If the new pontiff... Oh, you spelled it wrong. Ah! Stop hitting me! If the new pontiff is chosen before the ransom is paid, then we shall become mean. Packard, save me. I hate business. The last week, they have made me watch EWTN for 24 hours straight per day. I can't take much more of this. I can't take it.
Oh, wow. We'll have to see what happens with Todd next week. Hopefully, I can't come up with that kind of ransom. Shit.
Does Opus Dei take PayPal?
I don't know. Oh, poor Todd. Oh, man. Oh, well, I'd send him the money, but I don't have that kind of cash. I'm just a poor little podcast.
Dull. Everybody go and donate to help Todd.
Yeah, Dull Sun in the chat room says, send in the knights who say, nee!
Well, if you want to send Todd someplace, once we figure out how we're going to get him out of that current situation, leave in the comment section here below, and we will try to send him to wherever we can after that point. Hopefully we won't have any PSD, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder after that. I mean, having to watch that stuff all over and over again, 24 hours straight, that's enough to drive me crazy, too. You know, before we get going here to the interview here, if you want to contact us, we're on Facebook and Twitter and a various variety of other places here. So we're going to play the video for you right now, and you can find out how to contact us.
Would you like to contact us? We can be reached 28 hours a day, 8 days a week, as at PackardPokesAt on Twitter and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can find the show on iTunes, YouTube, and Stitcher Radio. Please rate, comment, subscribe, retweet, and repost the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook /PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. It really helps us out. Please donate whatever you can afford to help keep the show running. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for more information on this or any other episode. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and for your support.
And thank you. Well, that's Crystal. She's not here tonight, but somehow she just managed to get that into us. And she does it the same way every time. So she does a great job of that. So anyway, let's get into our interview for this evening. Our special guest, if you haven't guessed already, is Steve Shives from YouTube. And he's on there as Steve Likes to Curse. Steve, welcome to official Packard Pokesat.
Hi, everybody.
Steve, welcome to Packard Pokesat. Now you can see what kind of crap we have to deal with here on the show. Welcome to live.
It's live internet television / radio.
Yes, it is. That's one of those fun things here. Anyway, we put out some promotional videos, and when you had it on your page there, it had over 500, almost 600 views combined between mine and yours. It's like, that's great. I'm surprised we had actually so many people here in the chat room tonight. It was thank you everybody for coming. Steve, before we get started, I want to tell everybody about you here a little bit. He's on YouTube, if you haven't guessed already, and he's at Steve Likes to Curse. I have to ask you about where you came up with that name. It's a great name. Also, he also does these great segments. You had to ask the one with the animals, the stuffed animals. Those are hilarious. The five stupid things. Those are just awesome. And you're doing the book reading right now, also. And there's also one other one. I'm trying to think which one it is right now. Did I mention them all already, or is that it?
Well, I do one about a call-in section in my local newspaper called Riffing on Mail Call.
Yeah, that's the one. I knew I was forgetting one. The call-in section. That's great. I love that. Do you have to pay a subscription for that to be able to get that, or is it all free online?
No, actually, the newspaper's website just started requiring you to pay after you see a certain number of news stories, but they have happily left all of the editorial stuff up for free, so I don't have to. It doesn't cost me anything yet.
Oh, that's good at least. Yeah, because our newspaper out here started doing the same thing too. So I was just kind of curious.
Yeah,
I got a technical question. I mean, the show covers technology anyway, but I got a question. What do you use for your editing, by the way?
Well, for most of my editing, I use a really cheap, really basic video editor called AVS.
AVS. Okay.
Yeah. And, but for some of the, and I only use that because the computer I use is so shitty and it can't really handle, like an Adobe program.
Yeah.
But for the Five Stupid Things videos and for any of the ones, if I do another video like that, where I shoot in front of a green screen, I use Premiere Elements just to do the keying and stuff, and that works pretty well for me.
Yeah, and all those are all scripted out pretty much, aren't they?
Yeah, the Five Stupid Things are scripted. Really, all of them are scripted except for, like, if I do one where it's one of the ones where I'm sitting in front of a black backdrop and I'm just kind of ranting. Those are unscripted. Those are off the cuff. And the Q&A videos I do every week, the You Had to Ask videos, they're all unscripted. And I got all I have is the questions.
Cool. How do you get people to ask questions? We put out there to ask us questions. The email's right there. It's packerpokes@gmail.com. And I get zero.
I don't know. People... I'm glad that people ask, because I always get more questions for each video than I can use, and it's another video to put up every week.
Yes.
It's really easy content, and for some reason, and I'm very grateful for it, people just want to know what I think about shit, and yeah. And they ask questions.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I can't explain it. I'm curious about what I think about stuff, but I'm me and I'm really full of myself. I don't know what other people have an interest in it, but they do.
Well, we're YouTube stars, you know. Of course, we're full of ourselves. We're putting ourselves out there.
we're narcissists.
Yes,
that's why we do this.
That's right. We want people to love us. Joe, did you have anything you wanted to ask Steve?
I had the opportunity to check out some of Steve's videos. I watched some of the 5 Stupid Things. I watched your 10 Commandments video, which is from a while ago, and I watched a couple of your You Had to Ask, and somebody in the chat room earlier recommended the Bible Reloaded video, which I'm going to have to check out next.
Yeah.
Before the show, Packard asked us to get together some questions for you, because that's kind of like your thing. You answer questions, so I got 4 questions for you.
Okay.
My first question is, why do you hate God, and what did he do to you?
Well, I mean, I guess I can talk about it. It's a little personal, but God actually killed my son.
Oh.
And this was a long time ago. I came into the house, and there was God standing over him. And I said, God, what have you done? And he turned around, and he gave me the finger, and then he just flew away.
Oh, geez.
And I shook my fist out the window at him as he floated back up, and I said, one day, God, I will get you for this. I will start a YouTube channel, and I will talk crazy shit about you all the time. And he didn't think I would do it, but goddammit, I did it.
Now I'm wondering if you're playing with us here.
A little bit, maybe.
Okay.
I did gulp right there. I was like, oh, man. All right. My next question is, Steve, what are you giving up for Lent?
Well, what's the it's like every atheist I know on Facebook says some version of it. Like, I'm giving up giving shit up for Lent.
Oh, there you go.
I'm giving up obeying a stupid, pointless religion for Lent. Which I gave up years ago, but anyway.
Yeah. Myself, I give up Lent for Lent.
How do you live without it?
I just take it on my belly button, you know.
Oh, okay.
I told a friend of mine I was going to give up being an atheist for Lent, and here I am doing an atheist podcast on a Friday. So.
Oh, well. I guess that's kind of fucked now.
I fucked up Lent. I was going to ask you if you're on Twitter, but I see from underneath your picture that you are @Steve_Shives. I just followed you, and I did a quick run through your timeline, and you post a lot of cool tweets.
Yes.
A lot of them are to videos and stuff, so I'm really happy I'm following you now. I'm going to check some of those out. And my final question is, I noticed a lot of your videos are political. Now that the election is over, what are you going to do?
Well, the good thing is my politics generally run pretty liberal, and as long as Barack Obama is president of the United States, Republicans can be counted upon to lose their shit.
Yeah, no regularly. Shit.
So there will be plenty of material for political stuff. There's really no end in sight for that.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely for sure. They've just gone apeshit. I mean, the first time ever in Congress, they blocked a cabinet nomination. Never been done before.
Yeah.
Oh, the gentleman's agreement. We'll play nice. Yeah. We won't
filibuster.
Filibuster. That's the word. Filibuster. Thank you. Filibuster. And yeah, we'll play nice. Fuck that. They had their fingers crossed. Didn't he fucking see that?
Well, what I'm kind of hoping is for the second term that Obama will be a little less nice. Just because it's been shown so far that it just gets him nowhere. I mean,
right.
He tries to be nice to people on the other side of the aisle, and they just give him nothing. They just they piss right in his face.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, okay, I've tried to work with you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
So guess what? You know, the party's over. I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Bring John Boehner's head out on a pike.
Firefly Forever in the chat room said, and who did they block? The guy who would have been McCain's choice had he been elected.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's a good question. these Republicans are just a fucking they're running the insane, basically, and it's just fucking just nut jobs. Michael, did you have any questions for Steve?
Yeah, I've literally put up my first video on Wednesday, and because I'm hoping to do some rants and raves and show off life and do photography tutorials and stuff. So do you have any advice for someone that's just starting out?
The first piece of advice is just a purely technical piece, which is no matter what camera you're using, if you're putting yourself on camera, I have to say, because not everybody puts themselves on camera in their videos, but if you're going to put yourself on camera, make sure that you have good lighting, because even a shitty low-tech webcam can look a lot better if you're properly lit. And the other thing is just do your thing, you know, just speak in your own voice and trust your, it's kind of a weird term to use. I don't really talk this way very often, but trust your muse, you know, trust what is interesting to you. And if you do things that are interesting to you in a way that you find interesting, then eventually, if you keep plugging away at it, you will find people that will connect with you and that will see what you're talking about. Mm. It's much better to do it that way, I've found, than to try and chase things. You know,
I have another question here. I was just thinking about it now. You had mentioned your passing of your son. Is that how you fell out of religion?
No, I didn't. That whole thing was bullshit.
Oh, okay. I knew I was being pawned.
I don't have any, though.
How did you fall out of religion?
I never had kids.
Oh, okay. How did you fall out of religion, or were you ever in religion at all?
I was raised nominally Christian. My family were all Christians, but we were never really church going. We went to church regularly for only about a year when I was about 7 or 8 years old. And then we stopped. And ironically, the reason we stopped going to our particular church was because we had a pastor who didn't believe in miracles, and that offended my father, which is weird considering where I ended up. Yeah. You know, we left the church because the pastor took what I would now consider to be an entirely sensible position. But you know, we were always. That was sort of just the default religion, Christianity and Jesus and the Bible. And I didn't really start coming out of it until I was about halfway through high school.
Right.
It was just a natural process. I mean, I put up a You Had to Ask video earlier today on my YouTube channel where I mentioned reading Voltaire and sort of figuring out that it was an option to not believe all this stuff, you know, that because you're not taught that. They don't tell you now, okay, this is just what we believe, but you don't have to believe this if you don't want to.
Yeah, I think that's very prevalent with religious people. They try to force it on you, but they don't give you that option. They say, hey, you, by the way, when you get older, you don't have to follow this stuff, but we want to pound it into you so you do follow it.
Right, exactly. And you're not taught how to think about it. And in a lot of cases, you're actually positively encouraged not to think about it,
mm-hmm.
and not to ask questions, or if you do have questions, to accept, doubt is a part of faith and everybody has questions, but then you're not encouraged to pursue the question.
Right.
You're just sort of, just because you have questions doesn't mean that you're losing your faith. You're sort of taught to accept it, but not to pursue it.
Right.
And when I started to pursue it, you know, it was a stepping down process. It was like a nicotine patch where, you know, I started out with, I went from Christianity to sort of a generic kind of theism, then more down to sort of a deist viewpoint that I sort of stayed at for a long time. And then I got to a point where I said to myself, hey, I should just admit that I'm an atheist.
Yeah.
That I don't believe any of this stuff. And, you know, I was at a point where I was saying, well, okay, I know that there's no real reason to believe that there's a God, but I just like believing it.
Hmm.
And I got to a point where I just said, you know what? That's really stupid. That's not a good reason. And really, it means that I don't believe.
Right.
No, that's what it means. Belief isn't always a matter of choice. You're convinced or you're not. And I wasn't convinced, you know?
Yeah. What makes me wonder is how some people are just so easily convinced. They're told all these bullshit stories, and they go, oh, yeah, that could have happened. Yeah. The talking snake? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Talking donkey? Oh, it's in the Bible. It's got to be true. You know?
It's also in Shrek.
Yeah, it's all, yeah. It's just so much weird stuff. I mean, and what's really sad is most people don't even fucking read the Bible. I mean, we talk about religion on this show every fucking week, and we have a meeting in the middle of the week, and we talk about it then there as well. And it's like we have a Bible study twice a week, as Joe has put it, when we talk about it. So the fact is that atheists talk about the Bible more than religious people is just not too surprising, at least not to me anyway. Is it? Did that, when you found that out, that you actually studied the Bible and the religion more than someone who claims to believe, did that surprise you at all?
It surprises me when I know more about the Bible than a Christian does. And it shouldn't surprise me, because it's happened enough times. Mm-hmm. That it's sort of become a regular thing. I mean, there are many, and I don't mean to say that, like, you know, atheists know more than Christians, because there are some Christians who know the Bible backwards and forwards.
True.
And can, you know, drop scripture on you like crazy, and you're just completely helpless. But for most people I've found who will either start a conversation with me in a comment on a video, or will talk to me about religious stuff, you know, their biblical knowledge is not very deep, and neither is mine, but I know enough about the most popular, you know, the most often cited passages to be able to carry on a conversation,
right,
and to sound like I know what I'm talking about, because, you know, as an English major, you learn how to sound smart without actually being smart, and that really carries over into a religious. If you're going to have a conversation with an apologist, it really helps.
Yes.
To be able to fake it.
When I do it over Twitter, I since it's all text, I actually have time to edit and what I'm saying before I actually say it. that makes it a lot easier to speak, because I have a tendency to a few times here and there. Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Packard?
Oh, yeah.
Real quick.
Sure.
Some people in the chat room are asking if Steve will take questions from the chat.
Yeah, let's take a few questions from the chat room here. I have a question from the chat room they would like to ask Steve.
Bring it on.
Bring on the questions. I'll edit out all these pause breaks here.
Yeah. People have been asking throughout, but we haven't been paying attention because we have a show to do.
Yes. Well, imagine that, us actually having to do something here. We have to be entertaining, people. Fireflower, why don't you answer her calls? Well, I'm not Steve. I'm just going to say, you stalker. No, just kidding.
Am I going to have to change my number again? This is ridiculous.
Dull Sun in the chat room, our one of our guests with no real name, says, "Yo, Steve, where do you want to go from making YouTube videos? Do the same on TV, big prime time, or big time?"
It would be fun to be on big time TV or even on CNN.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know, big time TV is all, if you go back to Max Headroom, they had big time TV. Never mind.
Yeah.
Someone else, Mini Pet, asked, "I just got Netflix. What film do you recommend?"
Oh, shit. You put me on the spot.
Hot seat.
I know. It's like, oh, shit. I think the last film I watched on Netflix, it's an old Russian science fiction movie by a great director called Andrei Tarkovsky, called Solaris.
Solaris, I think I've heard of this.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's not everybody's cup of tea. It's a little quiet and dry in a lot of places. It moves very slowly, but I think it's brilliant. And if you're into, like, if you like 2001: A Space Odyssey, Solaris, I think, would be right up your alley.
Okay, I think I've heard of it. I've heard something of it. Either that, or it's one of our local cable companies. It's. Yes. I think they actually use that name. Actually, did we have any other questions in the chat room?
Come on, check out. Oh, yeah,
Stormageddon actually asked, if you could meet one atheist, who would it be?
I don't know. I would love to meet Dawkins. I saw Dawkins at the Reason Rally last year, but I didn't actually get to meet him. I didn't hang around long enough to do any of the meet and greets. But I would like to meet Dawkins because he seems like really intimidating mm-hmm. when he's up on stage giving his presentations. But then when I've also seen him, you know, get personal with people, he seems like just a lovely guy. Mm-hmm. So I and you know, he's sort of like the godfather at this time. He's like the king atheist, you know, and he's just a great, he's a good writer. He's like the Carl Sagan of biology. There's just a lot to admire about the guy. So probably him.
You come to me for advice on biology.
Well, we actually,
it's you.
We actually have one of our people who comes to our chat room generally. He comes in as Dawkins' dog. So I think, hey, if you get the talking Dawkins dog, it's the closest thing to talking to Dawkins, maybe. Ted Faster, he's reposting his because we may have missed it. Ingmar Bergman really is a great filmmaker. Fancy O. Alexander wasn't super. So I guess they're wondering, trying to figure out. Oh, somebody asked if you're considering writing a book.
Well, okay. First of all, Ingmar Bergman is a great filmmaker. I mean, just because you don't like every film the guy made doesn't mean he's not a great filmmaker. He's not one of my absolute favorites, I have to admit, but I can't say that the guy's not a great filmmaker.
Right.
And I had an idea for a book. I don't know if I'll ever actually write it. It takes a lot of time. And I don't really have – I do 5 YouTube videos a week, and I really don't want to stop doing that anytime soon. And that's kind of a – you know, that's kind of a grind sometimes to keep putting those out. And I don't know if I would have time to write a book because I also – a lot of people who watch my stuff regularly know that I also work – I write with a local filmmaking company in my in my area here. And just a really low-budget independent stuff, but we're gradually ratcheting up and doing bigger stuff. And we're just starting a project, so that's going to take up any little extra bit of time, you know. Yeah, Dull Sun says it. Neon Real Entertainment is the name of the group, and every little spare bit of time is going to be taken up with that. So if there's a book coming, it will. And plus, I mean, honestly, I have 7,000 YouTube subscribers, which is awesome and more than I ever thought I would have. But that's not really a big enough base to justify writing a book. All right. You know?
Yeah, if you're following Steve. Come over and follow us over at Packer Pokesat too. You don't have to just follow him. You can follow us too. I'm gonna take a glow a couple. You know.
No, everybody should. Everybody should come and check you guys out more often because I've had a great time tonight.
Yes,
and it's a great show.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much. We're glad to have you on. We're gonna try to get one of our friends on here.
Thanks for coming, Steve.
Yes, it's been thank
awesome
you.
Talking
oh,
to you, man.
Please, no problem. Yes. It's been my pleasure.
Yes. And you're welcome to come back again anytime. Tomorrow? No, I'm just kidding. We're not broadcasting tomorrow. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. speaking of tomorrow, the show will be put up here in a few days because it takes me a few days to edit all this stuff because it's a lot to do. And like I say, I have substandard equipment to deal with. But it'll be at Packer Pokesat on YouTube, at least some segments of it. The whole show will be available up on iTunes in its full audio piece. It'll be cleaned up with all the crap taken out of it. So get a chance to go down over there. And there's some audio content that's on the show that's download only. Download only, so get over there and download it, and you'll find out what it is. Some of it will be up on YouTube here maybe next week or maybe Friday or Saturday, Monday, whatever it is. But it'll be some new stuff that hasn't been seen before, and hopefully everybody will find it interesting. So get a chance to check it out. The show will be posted up on Sunday, Monday, sometime in there whenever I get the opportunity to do so. All right. Yes, again, Steve, thank you again for coming.
Absolutely.
Glad to have you come again, and thank you for taking all these questions and joining us here in the chat room and joining us on the panel and putting up with all our technical glitches tonight. It's live, people. What do you want from us? We got one more person who wants to ask you a quick question here.
Okay.
And he's going to come online right now. Talking Primate. He's also on YouTube. He wanted to ask you a quick question. We did an interview with him a couple weeks ago, and he wanted to ask you a quick question.
I just wanted to know, were you at the Reason Rally?
Yeah, I was there. I was wandering among the throng there, yeah.
Yeah. I think you and I met.
We may have. A couple of people came up and said hi to me. Yeah. We very well may have.
Oh, that's cool. I have yet to I have yet to go to one of the recent rallies. Every time I wanted to go, it was the weather was either super crappy or the last one, I don't know what it was. I was just sick as a dog that day for some reason. It was really bizarre, but
yeah. Well, it rained that day.
Yeah.
But it was nice. I bought an umbrella from a guy who was hustling them, so it was cool.
That's where I got my umbrella.
Yeah. It was like, oh, they're selling umbrellas. I'm going to go get hustled for an umbrella.
But I got to meet James Randi. Woohoo!
Yeah, you know, Joe he lives over in New York, so, and you're in Maryland, you're practically neighbors over there, so you guys will actually get a chance to meet before I do, so.
Yo, Steve, we should go crash the gun owners rally in March.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah. I wonder how many of those totally guys are going to show that. Up with their guns.
So anyway, all right, well, we should get going here. But yeah, this was a blast. Definitely come again, and we will have you on again as soon as we possibly can.
Absolutely will.
And please, I'll send you a copy of the interview here to you so you can post it up on your channel as well. So,
awesome.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody that came to the chat room, all – 5 people? No, I'm just kidding.
A lot of people showed up this week.
Yes. And we thank every one of you for coming out to the show. The show is on every Friday night at 9 p.m. Central Time. And sometimes we start a little bit late. Sometimes we start a little bit early. Usually it's a little bit late because, you know.
10 p.m. real people time.
Yeah, 10 people. 10 p.m. Eastern. So it's at 9 o'clock Eastern. You got me screwed up. Thanks. Thanks, Joe.
Focus. 3, 2, 1.
Got it. At 9 o'clock Central Standard Time at packerpokesat.wordpress.com. That's the blog. packerpokesat.wordpress.com is the blog. And the show is at blogtv.com/people/packerpokesat every Friday night. And if there's not going to be a show, there will be an announcement. But that's only happened once, twice so far. So, and that's only because I've gone on vacation. So I can't do this forever.
You did it sick one week with no voice. You're like, everybody comes to the show and I can't let them down. And we're all like, wow, Packard, you're a trooper.
Yes, I was. Oh, I was sick as a dog that night. I was like, your thoughts.
Joe, your thoughts. What's that, Packard? Can you say that again?
I said it. Shut up. Leave me alone. So I'm here every Friday. Unless the power goes out, I'm going to be here. So come and join us. Join us in the chat room. Have fun. And you never know what we're going to talk about because we don't either. That's what makes it.
Producer picks the stories. We have no clue.
That's right. Until the story's picked out, they don't even have a clue, and I don't know what they are until. And I've got hundreds of them in there every night. So before the show, and then we get to whittle them down to a few. So it's always something fun to watch. All right. Anyway, we should get going. Thanks again for coming. This has been Packer Pokes at. We just poked at your news,
and that's a wrap.
Hey, kids. It's time again to talk about your favorite subject. Yay! Contradictions in the Bible. According to the Bible, is there an unforgivable sin? According to Mark 3:28-29, it says, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin. But according to 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. However, Colossians 2:13 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Did you like that, kids? Want to hear more?
Yay!
Sorry, but you'll have to wait till next week.